Thank you, Sanford. I believe that is music from the movie Hail Mary. The Artemis II manned mission around the moon earlier this month reminded many citizens of planet Earth of the exquisite beauty of our home among the stars. From the lunar perspective, the blue marble, the physical globe, appears suspended in blackness. But that is only how it seems to human consciousness. There is so much light we do not see. The substance of the solar and galactic contexts, not to mention the cosmic, reveal the truth of the oneness of all it is. The whole universe lives. We're not in the dark. Meanwhile, here on the planetary surface, people search for meaning and worth, most ignorant that these are our true birthrights. Humanity, and thus all life forms on the planet, are homeless. We may remember that the two Greek roots of the English word nostalgia combine to mean homesickness. Inspired poet David White wrote, "Nostalgia is not an immersion in the past. Nostalgia is the first enunciation that the past as we know it is coming to an end." For lots of people, it seems nostalgia is more popular than ever, longing for the good old days, forgetting that for the most part, they never really were that good. The past as we know it is indeed coming to an end. This was foretold in the book of Revelation. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." The I who makes all things new is, of course, the individual creator being and the creator collective, we and many more composed together. We are the I, capital I, in the raging storm of human confusion, a swirl around us. We're very aware of the intensifying superficial cyclone in the mind-made world. But gathered together in my name, we know and are the one whose name I am. And we are unmoved by externals. Especially in these times, let's not concern ourselves much with where we are going, but keep our focus on where we're coming from. As Zen master Pema Chodron said, "Remember, you are the sky. Everything else is just the weather." Speaking of weather, these days innumerable people have cloud access through their phones and computers. I understand, in simple terms, that cloud computing means storing and accessing data and programs over the internet instead of our hard drives. It's a bit of a stretch, but I like the implied metaphor here. In various places in the Bible, there's reference to a cloud of glory, a pneumaplasmic reality that is evidence of transcendent divine presence. If the living computers of our bodies, hearts, and minds access this true cloud instead of relying on our limited mental hard drives, these capacities are permeated and uplifted by the power of spirit and united, merged with the source of all knowledge and wisdom. Behold, I make all things new. For where two or three, or 50 or 60, like today, are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. In my name signifies in my identity. It also means in my cloud of glory. Creator being identity is focused at the crossover point where spiritual and material blend. Heaven and earth are a single continuum of manifestation, not two separate things, as many imagine. We're not two entities, we are spirit. Manifesting materially. The Master Jesus said and demonstrated, "I and my Father are one." In this consciousness of being, I am in heaven on earth, deeply at home. Meanwhile, back in the dark, we see that a predominant characteristic of people in leadership positions in the man-made world is hubris, a highly arrogant form of extreme egotism. I looked up hubris and found this list of its typical symptoms. 1. Extreme overconfidence. 2. Dismissive of advice. 3. Disregard for rules. 4. Isolation. And 5. Lack of remorse. Rather descriptive of the current diabolical state of affairs, eh? We don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. This quote is most famously attributed to author Ananias Nin. It is so true. A person's actual experienced identity determines the way everything looks. Self-centered people interpret everything in self-centered ways and assume everyone else is self-centered too. The good news is this fact keeps those who serve divine purpose on earth pretty much out of view, thankfully. One of America's founding fathers and the fourth president of the United States, James Madison, wrote, "If men were angels, then no government would be necessary." A few decades later, in his first inaugural address, Abraham Lincoln spoke of better angels in a context generally thought to refer only to the United States of America. Quote, "The mystic chords of memory will yet swell the chorus of the Union when again touched, as surely they will be, by the better angels of our nature." I like to think this inspired man also had in his heart an inkling of a far more significant union, the reunion of God and man. In any case, I think he intuited that it was essential to preserve the national union so it could later serve as a primary setting for what was to come in the next century and now. We recognized that although the master's disciples and responding ones didn't follow all the way through with him back when they had the chance, the way of restoration was opened then and is open wider today. Words attributed to the Lord of Lords when he was present in human form are just as true and meaningful now as ever. Quote, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Although it is not for us to know the times or the seasons, we may well perceive that now is the culminating time when the past as we've known it is coming to an end and all things are being made new. Our pneumoplasmic generations contribute to the new heaven, which inevitably causes the new earth to appear. The power for the latter to occur comes through the substance of the Holy Ghost, generated in our minds and hearts individually and together. Let's do something together. Speaking to those of us participating now live via Zoom. Let's devote a few moments to looking one by one at each of the 60 or so facial images on our computer screens and at the array of all of us together. If not permanently, just for now, Let's let our human associations, past and present, fade into the background. Let us accept each and every image as being evidence of the presence of a fellow creator being. We here are an assemblage of creators, part of a large body of creators on Earth. Beholding one another in this true way, we feel the love current that joins us. We feel it intensify. We love one another as the Lord of Love instructed. We do not have to try to do this. Letting what prevents this true experience just fall away. We know that we've always loved one another in and as a transcendent body of creators. Without needing to be asked to do so, we hold each and all in attunement and experience unified radiation. Let love radiate. May we be reminded, if we need reminding, of the two great commandments. Jesus said unto him and to every human being who has ever lived, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And this familiar restatement: "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." In this holy atmosphere, let us turn our attention now from extending God's love to one another to receiving God's love and the Lord of Love, personally as one. Receive. The spiritual body is bathed in the pneumoplasm of his presence. It is his body, and we gather in his name, his identity, his cloud. The Lord comes home on earth. As home is recreated for him, what could be more important? The silence we share is very full. If any wish to bring your voice into the silence, please do.
For God so loved his world that he created man in his image and likeness to do the work on earth, in his beautiful earth. This is the message that goes into the cloud. So many people are believing the separation lie of God and man. And yet, what is put into the cloud by this divine company of many angels is available to perceive. And it's evident in so many ways. Recently, I heard the song, If God is one of us. Well, yes. So, this is put into the cloud. Yes, yes, it's creator and creation, God beings are one. How wonderful to have this assemblage of intelligent God beings to let this ascend into the cloud and into the hearts of all that are open.
John, I'm always deeply grateful to spend time with you. It's such a sacred time of love and upliftment of living in heaven together. And I just treasure your heart and all that you bring on the face of this earth. With Pamela at your side, I acknowledge that with you as well, Pamela. Thank you. There is no greater joy than to simply live in the cloud of glory and do our work that we came to do. It's very simple, and the love is extended in every word, thought, action. And if we miss a step, we pick it right up and move on and continue that love. And I just so appreciate the focus that you always carry, always have, as long as I've known you. And it's probably over many lifetimes. But I do thank you so much.
Thank you, Christina.
John, I too felt, I really felt your heart. And you have brought the most profound meaning of coming home. Usually we think about people coming home, but to allow the Lord to come home. And the moments we had in silence together with you, holding that space and his presence among us, to let him be present where he belongs and has been excluded for so long. And as we allow here among us for that, for him to come home, that may be the aperture for him to come home in a more complete and full way, which is our deepest longing. So thank you, John, for really sharply focusing that.
Thank you, Eugene.
What if God was all of us? I too feel the profound heart present, and I loved what you said about loving completely. It's not a matter of, well, I would love that person if they didn't do that all the time, or if they didn't say that all the time, or if they didn't look like that. Well, that to me has no place in what you've just brought. It's complete love and complete seeing of God in all of us. Thank you.
Christine.
John, you had us in this pneumoplasmic substance that we just created together. You had us first look around at each one and extend love and appreciation for each one. And after a period of silence, then you had us receive from our great Lord and King. And that is so perfect because as it is said, as you give, so shall you receive. We need to extend that love first, because when we extend that love, being creator being to creator being, with each one, we're doing it in this configuration, but with each one and each thing we come in contact with, then there is space for us to receive. Otherwise, we're too jammed up with stuff and it's there to be received, but we're not in position to receive. We don't know that we're receiving. So as we extend that outward and represent this cloud of glory, standing in the midst of this cloud of glory and extending that outward to each one, being to being, then there is the receiving, there is the knowing of the oneness, there is the knowing that we meet in this other place, not in the place of what you see here, this substance, but we meet at a different place and come down through this substance. And that is being home. That is home. You are home wherever you are, because home is not something that, well, it does include the physical, of course, but it's something so much more. So thank you so much for this generation in a very special way this morning. A very special way. Thank you, John, for who you are. And thank you for each one. As I looked around and looked at each one, I'm going, wow, that person is so beautiful. Oh, they're so beautiful. Look at that. Look at that. Look at, I mean, it was just like, and the more you do it, your heart is full with thankfulness for each precious one and each precious one in particular here in this configuration this morning. So thank you.
Thank you, Maureen.
The faces we see on this Zoom call have had a long history together, some 60 or 7 years. And there have been many slings and arrows, haven't there? However, that history is nothing compared to the real history we've had together. It has been forever we've been together. And it has been under the care and protection of an energy that we're just beginning to know in ourselves. And this is the energy, powerful and true, that is changing the world back to the original memory. There's nothing ever to be fixed but the reality of being together in that memory. Because it isn't a memory, it's real and true, and it's right here because we're here. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Laura. Okay.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much. I wonder if I can do justice to an experience I had this morning. I had to smile when you were speaking, because just before we came together, I was having some of these very same thoughts about home. The oneness is becoming an experience, I'm sure, with all of us, much more tangible. And if I think of a person, I may need to stop and just sense out, do I need to reach out? Do I need to call? Do I need to just say hello? There is this experience happening, and it is so tangible that it wouldn't even occur to us to think of anything but that, to attribute it to oneness. There is this oneness of spirit, and it is a joy to participate in it with all of you and many, many more, many whom we have not even met. I love the assurance that's coming into this body that thy will is being done on earth. Thank you.
Thanks, Deborah.
I really appreciate your mention that we're part of a larger body. And I've been thinking a lot about that lately. We call it the transcendent nation. The other day on the news, there was just a little bit from Ukraine. And it said that particularly the older generation of Ukrainians now are wearing their finest all the time. In other words, when they head out, they are dressing themselves and presenting themselves the very best they can. I see something wonderful in that. In the awakening process, people are finding their way in whatever way, because they feel the movement of a certain spirit, I feel. And I love to hear about these things happening. Imagine that in the midst of a war zone. Anyway, thanks so much, John.
Thanks, Alan.
Angels in agreement. It is such a fine, refined state we find ourselves in right now. I thank you, John, and I thank each one of us that I feel this agreement in oneness. And I can only say from this little corner of the world, I honor each and every one finding our way solidly home, staying there in that place, in the cloud, and honoring each that is doing their level best to just be on hand, open-hearted at this time to the newness that is upon our doorstep. So thank you, John. Thank you, each one. We are very blessed. I started this morning and opened up YouTube to a song that's kind of old, but nonetheless, I played it several times. Opening to the high life again. And this indeed is our high life, our only life. And we touch it, we know it, we adore it, and we wish to bond eternally with the Lord of Lords that creates and that we move in the direction of. Thank you all.
Thanks, Laura.
In hours like this, John, I, when I hear masterful ones like you speak for minutes on end, my hand is writing notes. I don't look at the notes. I look down after them. And I have a handful. What I see here, starting out, is your mention of the title of the song, Hail Mary. Well, it makes me think of a football player, a quarterback, who is a leader of a team on a mission. He has to let go of the ball to throw a Hail Mary. Then final minutes, if he's going to win, if they're going to win, he has to release the ball into the air of spirit. It arcs. What success is, it's received. And I find that symbolic of what we're doing now. We know each other forever, friends, angels of light, at a distance, like we are now. And we're throwing Hail Marys. I like that term, Hail Mary. Mary offered all these things. It's received her in her heart. And let love radiate. Passively, seemingly, but powerfully. And that's what we're doing. We're throwing Hail Marys to each other and the world. It arcs. It's like a tumult. The air of the spirit carries it to the reception points. And those reception points these days are in the millions. I don't know, need to know who they are, but I feel they're there with us now. Thank you, John. The Hail Mary you gave us today. I'm carrying it a lot.
Right. Thank you, Pendel. And thank everyone who has spoken. I don't want to cut anyone off here. Is it Martha?
Your mention of the good old days earlier brought to mind Carly Simon and her song Anticipation, which ends, "So I'll try to see into your eyes right now and stay right here. Because these are the good old."
Thank you, Martha. Yeah, indeed. These are the good new days. Hope, like me, you were reminded in the time we've just shared, that the reasons for our gatherings aren't to be entertained or educated or hear something we've never heard before or any of that. It's to be together. It's to commune, to be in one accord, in one place, to be home. And when the home is sufficiently provided, then the one whose home it is found to be present and has never not been present. It's often said that these are unprecedented times, but that's not really so. What is appearing now is precedented. It just hasn't been around for a long time. It's the true home. Good to be together now and always. Sanford has a bit of music to take us out. Or in.